in a secret lab somewhere in the Western Hemisphere. The perfect human specimen has been born. He has the strength of 10 men and the wisdom of 20.
Rick Munn.
Now you listen here. He's a very naughty boy.
TNT Radio.
Yes, TNT, today's news talk. We don't want you to go away at least for another, 55 minutes if you must go away. See, sometimes people hop on for a show, then they hop off again. Listen, if you can, keep TNT open, keep the app open, keep the old live stream going, because I tell you what, throughout the course of the day, before each show, after each show, you've always got really, really good content on. And I know people have their own favorites. Maybe they log in at a certain time to hear a certain person, or they join to hear a certain guest. I understand that. But trust me, there's such a depth of presenters and guests that we have on here, literally cranking out the content 24/7, pretty much, and right through the weekend as well. There's a lot of stuff I'm sure people miss. And I know we're all busy. And I know we all have other things to do, but I'm telling you now, even if you can, keep the thing open, keep the thing running in the background. You don't have to be contributing on the live chat, but you may just miss out on something that really blows you away. And that's what I'm encouraging people to do. Don't tune in for me and tune off for me. Don't tune in for Basil or tune off for just keep the thing open, and you might be pleasantly surprised. Or even over the weekend, if you have Spotify, have a scroll through some of the shows that have been uploaded this week. There are there's so much to keep up with. There's thousands in our back catalog, thousands and thousands and thousands of interviews with so many great people, so many great presenters, so many great inputs from the people in the live chat too. It's worth having a little browse. You could be missing out there. So please do that. Show the love for TNT, not just for an hour or two here, but keep it open. And don't forget, tell people. You folk out there are our best advertising that we can have. There is nothing more powerful than word of mouth advertising. So if you tell a friend or relative, hey, check out tntradio.live. It's really good. See what you think. That's the best form of advertising that there is. And we can all get complacent. I know I can, not spreading the word as passionately as I should be. I can take my foot off the gas too, so I'll hold my hands up and admit that. But let's get refocused again and keep the push going with the TNT promo. Now, coming up this hour, it's going to be an interesting one. I'm going to be joined shortly by Tamara Stidwell. She's based in Cornwall, and talking about the housing crisis that's ongoing down in that neck of the woods. And also possibly we'll be talking about a theatre company that she's involved with as well, which is great. Amateur Dramatics, etc., down in that neck of the woods. A very great way for people to release some stress, put their time and energy and focus into something positive that's offline as well, which I'm a big advocate of. And then to round up this final hour of Locked and Loaded this week, we will have the wonderful Aisling O'Loughlin joining me from Ireland to give a little roundup of what's happening there, because the madness never ceases in Ireland either. Also, just one more announcement. If you check out our What's On section, go to our website, tntradio.live. Or if you haven't done it, download the app from the App Store or the Google Play Store. Just search for TNT Radio. Stick it onto your listening device of choice. There's a What's On section on there. And it can be used by either people looking for events or people advertising events. So it's a free service. And there's an event happening at the end of May, and the last bank holiday in May here in the UK, up in the Lake District, Stand in the Light. It's the Stand in the Park and the Light newspaper coming together to put on a fantastic music festival from the 24th to 27th of May up in the Lake District. So full camping, catering, on-site amenities, music, all sorts of things happening there. If you're in that neck of the woods and you're looking for something to do over that bank holiday weekend, the long bank holiday weekend of May, check out the details on the What's On section. And if you're listening and you have an event coming up, doesn't matter where in the world it is, literally, because obviously the website's available to everyone in the world, whether it be America, Australia, Europe, UK, Ireland, get in contact with us, send a message through to the studio with the details of the event and any promotional material, and we will promote it for you for free on our website, tntradio.live. So great show this morning so far. Hopefully you've all been enjoying it. I've been dipping in and out of the live chat throughout the course of the shows, and some people are having a little bit of a ball in there, which is good to see. Just looking at some of the headlines, this morning, and I want to look at this one in particular because this is very close to home for me. So the Northern Ireland COVID inquiry is ongoing at the moment, and there are some revelations coming out off of the back of that. And we've talked a lot about this, well, talked about the Scottish COVID inquiry on and off here on TNT. We've talked about the, you know, what's going on in Wales. We've looked at some of the reviews that are happening elsewhere in the world, but now Northern Ireland are going through their motions. So Edwin Poots, former DUP minister, his words were, "We were cruel. We were cruel to ban people from mourning the dead during COVID," says an emotional Edwin Poots. Okay, so former DUP minister gives a deeply personal testimony to the COVID inquiry, saying he believes Stormont was wrong. Stormont being our so-called seat of government here in Northern Ireland, was wrong to follow London so closely, but it should have locked down earlier, but then relaxed certain restrictions. This is a weird thing to read out, because on one hand, you have the minister saying this was evil, this was wrong, this was overkill. And then on the other hand, he's saying, well, actually, we should have done more earlier, but maybe not so much. The disconnect from reality is unreal. So he said they were cruel to ban the public from even visiting graveyards during COVID. He recalled his own father's lonely death and burial. The Speaker of the Assembly, who was the Agricultural Minister during the pandemic, spoke personally when he appeared before the COVID inquiry in Belfast yesterday. So he said, if anything, lockdown should have happened more quickly. So he says it was cruel to do certain things, but it should have happened more quickly. Stormont were waiting for Johnson's government to act, said they didn't have the money available to lock down sooner than they did. He said his father became unwell in April 2020, called an ambulance. They followed it to the hospital. He wasn't allowed to enter the hospital as the agriculture minister in Stormont. I wasn't allowed to see him again until he was just about to die. And that's the experience thousands of families had. And then he goes on to say, I'm not even sure that this made any damn difference at all. And this is the problem. This is the problem. All of this was based on pseudoscience and faux science and so-called experts that didn't know their proverbial arses from their elbows. And in his own words, it was cruel and questionable whether it should have ever happened. And thousands of people were affected in the meantime, including him. Including him. He didn't get to see his own father when he was taken into the hospital to die just before he died. And then when he wanted to mourn him afterwards, he wasn't allowed into the graveyard. Now think about this. The so-called health minister at the time, Robin Swan, absolute menace of a man, absolute incompetent little twerp of a man, who's, by the way, back in position as the health minister for Northern Ireland. He allowed off licenses to stay open. He allowed fast food restaurants to stay open, but he shut graveyards down to stop people visiting their dead relatives' graves in the open air and socially distanced, I might add, 6 feet apart, literally, in the graveyard, you know, at least north-south rather than east-west here. But he let football clubs, young people, stop them from playing football because he said there was no science behind it, but it might have interfered with the message that we were trying to give the general public to stay at home. And this little bird is still in position, still floating about in the toilet bowl known as Stormont. He's a floater. He's like Alex Zelensky. What do you call him? I can't even remember his name. Vladimir Zelensky. He's a floater. He just won't flush. He just won't flush. He's a little floater that won't flush. Robin Swan is another one. And he literally is a little turd. He's only about 3 feet four in height. He's a little toe rag. He's a little Napoleon. He's a little menace. But anyway, that was his doing. Naomi Long, another horrific woman, so-called justice minister, Alliance justice minister, said restrictions around death and burial were due to a concern that dead bodies could spread the virus. Ooh, dead bodies could spread the virus. Have you any evidence of that? No, but we're concerned. So let's just lock everybody down to be on the safe side, based on concerns, based on no evidence whatsoever, based on nothing tangible whatsoever. And now they're all banging on about hindsight. Well, with the benefit of hindsight, we could have done this. With it, no, common sense I never locked down. I never stopped visiting my friends. I never wore a mask. I never social distanced. I didn't get injected. And guess what? I'm still alive despite the biblical death messages that the Northern Ireland Assembly were pumping out again through the mouth of that little co-rag, Robin Swan. We must prepare for deaths of biblical proportions. 15,000 people could be dead in the first month. Within a week, he revised that to 1,500. So he knocked the zero off the end of it, and it still didn't even come close to that. People that actually died from, quote, COVID, rather than with, quote, COVID. It was just a farce from start to finish, and they won't bloody well hold their hands up and say, you know what, we got this all wrong. We were wrong. We were wicked. We were evil. We apologize, and it'll never happen again. No, with the benefit of hindsight, with the benefit of hindsight. Anyway, talking about these people actually puts me in a bad mood. And it's Friday, and I don't want to be in a bad mood because it's not a bad day. It looks like it might be a reasonable weekend, so I don't want to rain on your parade out there either. I just whistled a little bit as I spoke there, didn't I? Made a funny whistling noise. Maybe that's a sign. I don't know. Maybe I'm going to turn into a canary. But either way, we've got to take a little pause right now and welcome on Tamara Stidwell to the show. So please stay tuned for more here on TNT Today's News Talk.
Johnny Vedmore, TNT.
The narrative has officially changed. Years after the Nazi-like medical experimentation was enacted upon the entire world, the people responsible for murdering and injuring millions worldwide admitting that they were injecting the masses with dangerous experimental drugs. AstraZeneca, the New York Times, Chris Cuomo, are all pretending to show contrition, but they don't care about the many people they murdered. They did not even act out of hubris. They acted out of greed and with an agenda. Yes, they did. They were involved with injecting the naive and trusting with poison, and then they watched people struggle for breath, collapse, and die worldwide.
A better business tip from TNT Radio. News Talk Radio listeners are some of the most active and involved listeners of any format. TNT Radio listeners rely on TNT Radio often as their primary source of information. They trust TNT Radio and are highly engaged with the content. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live.
Listen, we gotta talk.
It's what we do best.
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Yes, you better believe it. It's Friday, the 10th of May, 2024, locked and loaded TNT. I am Rick Munn, and I'm super happy to be joined for the first time this morning, and hopefully not the last time, on TNT by the one and only Tamara Stidwell. Tamara is a 28-year-old playwright who's been directly impacted by the housing crisis in Cornwall. She's also founded the Lizard Arts Film and Theatre Association, a community theatre organisation aiming to draw people together and utilize spaces for the benefit of the community in her hometown village, The Lizard, in Cornwall. Good morning, Tamara. How the hell are you doing?
Rick, well, good afternoon where I am.
Do you know what? I'm putting this down as a senior moment. I had a guest on earlier, Christian James. He's a guy. He's got a beard, right? But I kept calling him Kirsten. So I'm saying good morning to you over and over again. But yes, it's the afternoon, so please forgive me. It's been a long week. Trust me.
Okay, I think this point in the day still counts as morning for most of us anyway. So
it does. But listen, we're on here to talk about what's going on down in your neck of the woods at the minute. So I was doing a little bit of digging last night, as I do before I have a guest on. So Cornish housing crisis, we're on here to talk about this one today. I brought up an article here that was published this week in Cornwall Live. And the headline is, "It's not rocket science as Cornwall housing targets fail to make a dent in the crisis." What's so bad about what's going on in Cornwall right now? And is it not just a reflection of the wider housing problems that we're facing in the UK right now?
it's reflective of the wider housing issues that we face in the UK, also globally. I mean, we've been hearing about people fighting back in the Canary Islands and in Spain, you know, going around sticker blasting places like Malaga and saying a family used to live here and, you know, basically no more second homes. It's a massive issue. Cornwall has been hit really hard. And it's not that there's a shortage of housing stock. It's just how we're using this existing housing. And in this era of climate emergency, you know, the realization that we live on a finite planet with finite resources, it should surely be a simple solution to rethink how we're using this existing bricks and mortar, you know, and they're not just sitting there empty. I returned back to the Lizard, my hometown, after COVID, and I was really shocked because there was this massive boom in people buying these properties, turning them into holiday rentals, or just basically coming down and buying a second home because they wanted a luxury getaway. The thing is, these are our communities. These are our stories, our livelihoods, and they're not just luxury getaways.
So basically here, a couple of things I want to unpack what you've just said. Number one is, it's not a case of more money's needed to build more houses. It could simply be a case of let's manage the housing stock that we actually do have in the first instance. And number two, if people are coming and buying houses in Cornwall, maybe the residents of Cornwall should be getting a priority over foreign investors or people coming from London with a little weekend bolt hole that they want to buy. That's going to then put people in the local communities out of the opportunity to continue to live or buy a place and establish a family in the place that they actually grew up in. So it's like a twofold problem you have here: mismanagement plus, let's just say, the roof over people's heads is not going to Cornish residents; it's going to either Londoners or people from overseas.
The thing is, you know, people are coming down and they've got more cash and they can just pay up front for these houses. So potential buyers, it's not just renters who are missing out, you know, it's also potential buyers who have enough for a deposit are missing out because out of town buyers are coming down, out of county buyers are coming down and just basically offering a huge amount of cash up front. And then these houses are getting turned into holiday rentals or second homes. But the council have responded to this. And what's been really interesting is last year we saw that the council actually were charging three times the amount of council tax on properties that had sat empty for more than 5 years, which is really good. Mm-hmm. And also, there's 100% council tax premium now. So and it doesn't matter if it's just a holiday let, they still have to pay the full council tax and then some depending on its use and how often it's occupied. So they are responding to this, but it needs a full intervention. It needs to be addressed swiftly because what we've got is we've got these places that are just absolutely desolate in the winter. And businesses, you know, although they say, oh, well, tourism brings in 80 million. That was the BBC's recent figures on the economy of Cornwall. That's not true. That's a travesty. That's a distorted representation for most of the people who live in Cornwall. They know that for the rest of the year when it's out of season, people like myself are struggling to find work, you know, and we're on minimum wage jobs. At the height of the tourist season, and then where do we go to live? You know, where are we supposed to be? I don't know, just living our livelihoods and connecting with people when we're just surrounded by empty homes and these lovely little luxury getaways.
You know, some cynical people could be listening to you talking, say, well, if you don't like it, you know, go somewhere else. So that's what some cynical people could say. But it's not just as easy as that. Maybe you don't want to go anywhere else. Maybe you've been born and reared in an area and you feel that that's where your roots are and you don't want to go anywhere else. And why should you? Because of the way that the housing stock's being managed by your local authorities. And one thing I would say is, when you hear about a problem like this, and I hear about different problems like this all across the UK and Ireland, there's always actions being taken to make it look like that the councils are addressing this issue. So, for example, you talked about council tax, that you would pay 100% and then some. If I was to come into Cornwall, for example, and buy a property, cash. But here's the thing, let's be honest about it, Tamara. If I can afford to come in and whip out the wallet and lay down a huge wad of cash to pay for a property in Cornwall outright, doubling my council tax isn't really going to deter me very much from doing that. proportionately speaking, it's a small amount of money in relation to the property that I'm actually buying at the minute. And the other thing is this article here that I'm looking at, a couple of people have commented. Professor Malcolm Williams from the Institute of Cornish Studies at the University of Exeter's Penryn campus believes thousands of new homes Cornwall has been told by governments that it must build appears not to have made much of a difference. So again, telling someone to build a house and getting someone to build a house is two different things. You can talk about it all you like. It needs to actually happen before anything can actually be done to improve the situation.
New houses is the solution at all. Like I say, I mean, we've got houses that are here and they are empty. And I think, you know, we've got one in 14 properties in Cornwall sitting empty. You know, that's 20,500 empty homes. And that's about the same amount of people on the housing waiting list. And Cornwall Council are paying out 40k a day for people to be housed in emergency accommodation. That's hotels, B&Bs, even Airbnbs, which is absolutely sickening. So, you know, why is our council paying out and outlaying this amount of money to house these families that could be in the homes that they should be in? You know, and then why are we building new homes that people out of county are moving in? I don't want to sound cynical. I think it's always great to have a new influx of people moving into areas, but we're not housing the people that are already here. And, you know, Cornish families like myself are having to basically rely on, you know, mum's spare bedroom, which is great, but you know, she's obviously, there's mortgage costs that she has to cover, so you know, she wants to get a lodger and things like this. So where am I supposed to go, you know? And I've been living in caravans in my dad's driveway. You know, I know friends that have been living in tents at campsites, and they are working full-time. So, you know, it's a soft touch, this whole let's increase the council tax business. It needs to be more like the 60s when they, you know, they started capping rental prices, and they ensured that basically people could afford to live in these homes, and it was reflective of the average wage of the place that they were living in. And Cornwall is a very, very deprived area. We have a low wage seasonal economy. Wages are 80% of the national average, which doesn't sound a lot, but, you know, we've got over 1,500 children considered homeless in Cornwall. You know, that is shocking.
Let me ask you this question, okay? I am a big believer in, if the capacity's there to help people, people should be helped. And if there's a pecking order in helping people, for example, you talked about families that are on waiting lists in Cornwall. You talk about people that are struggling to put a roof over their head in Cornwall. Only when the people in the local area have been looked after and dealt with and accommodated, then should you look at being benevolent towards other people. So in the UK in general at the minute, and certainly in Ireland, the borders are open. People are flooding into the country from overseas. Some are claiming asylum. Some are saying they're refugees. Many, many people are coming in illegally. That's a fact. So whether or not you support that or not is neither here nor there. The fact is, people are flooding into a country, the UK or Ireland, Scotland, England, Wales, Northern Ireland, the Republic of Ireland, and we can't house our own homeless people. We just can't. Ireland has a endemic homelessness problem with Irish people, let alone people coming in from overseas as well. So how can the governments be so reckless to say, well, just come on over, just come on in, and we'll find somewhere for you. We'll put you into emergency accommodation. We'll commandeer a hotel. We'll get Serco on the job to buy up a hotel, effectively shutting it down and wrecking touristry industry in some places as well. Does that not add fuel to the fire or salt to the wounds?
Well, I know that you take a strong stance on immigration, Rick. And it's funny because I probably wouldn't have touched upon that because it's not an area I know enough about. But before I came on today doing a bit of research, there was actually quite a lot of stuff I found regarding this issue and residents quite angered that Cornwall Council are housing more immigrants that, you know, or that are coming and fleeing war zones, you know, so I would consider them refugees. I wouldn't use the word immigrants. And people were saying, yeah, but we haven't got anywhere to live. And I think this is reflective of just a wider, not even national, global issue. You know, we've just got this massive population. And when people are being persecuted and fleeing these war-torn countries, where do they go? Because the system is at breaking point. So
but we don't know. The problem is, you see, we don't know that they're fleeing from war-torn countries. They just rock up. They've got no documentation. They're mostly men. That's a fact. Coming from who knows where. Can't identify who they are, who they say they are. Where's their wives, their children, etc. I get. That's why I said at the beginning, I am all for helping people that are genuinely in need and genuinely fleeing from persecution and war-torn countries. I don't have a problem with that at all, Tamara. But I'm telling you this, and that's one of the reasons maybe why the UK is in the problem it's in, or you're suffering a little bit at the minute, is because the borders have just been thrown open and it's like, everyone is welcome. Come on in. We'll deal with you when you arrive. And we can't even deal with our own people in the first instance. That's what I mean, whether you support immigration or refugees or asylum seekers or not. If we can't look after ourselves, if we can't put a roof over your head or give you stability or your friends or the young people of Cornwall, how can we do it for people coming in from overseas, irrespective of where they're coming, if we can't do it for ourselves?
Like your comment earlier, you know, some cynical people might listen to what I'm saying and say, well, if it's so bad tomorrow and you can't find anywhere to live, why don't you just move somewhere else? But, you know, I'm Cornish. I'm from the Lizard. Yes. My family are deeply connected to the land around there, and they have all been involved in the mining and fishing industry. And, you know, these are industries which are, well, struggling or no longer existent. Yeah. But I want to see an influx of younger people moving home. And my friends, you know, they've moved away and they now can't return back to where they've come from because there's nowhere for them to move into. And these aren't just people on the same wage as me on you know, the average Cornish wage. These are also people who have been away and have saved up, you know, money, and they've got no home to start a family in. You know, I would also like to add that I do understand it's important that we do build affordable homes, for families in Cornwall. But I've got a real problem with these so-called affordable home projects that are going up. And these are shoddy houses. You know, these houses are predicted to only last for around 40 years. So whether you're getting shared ownership on them or full ownership, you know, these are timber frame builds, which are not good for the Cornish climate. You know, we get a lot of rain and extreme coastal winds, and we've got these houses going up everywhere. What's going to happen in 40 years' time? And we've already looked at what's gone on with schools that were predicted to only last, you know, this concrete that they used for a certain amount of time. What was it, 50 years or something? I don't know, I might be wrong. But, you know, they're now falling down, and the council are going to have to invest a hell of a lot more money because of it. So these so-called affordable homes that they're building on green belt sites as well, beautiful areas of outstanding natural beauty, and they're just popping up everywhere. And my dad calls them ticky-tacky houses. You know, they're just there one minute. And then you've got all sorts of problems. So is that what we deserve? Is that what the Cornish people deserve? We deserve these cheap, nasty builds. And the people who come in and can pay a bit more are getting the nice Cornish cottages that our families once lived in, which we did sell off. You know, that was what we did. But now, I mean, you're very unlikely to be able to own, you know, a lovely, stable, long-lasting home. It's for a young person.
The bubble, I'm afraid to say, is bursting, and not just down in Cornwall, but in other places as well. We've got to take a little headline break tomorrow, just for 30 seconds. And when we come back at the other end of that, there was another story that I picked up yesterday about Prince William visiting his homelessness project, as he calls it, down in UK. Let's look at whether or not he can throw some clout behind this, or if he's just making token gestures to tick a virtue signalling check sheet that I'm sure he has. We'll dig into that in a little bit more detail when we come back here on TNT Today's News Talk.
And now,
dude, I have huge news.
I knew it! Knew it.
TNT Radio News.
Matt Boyland here with a look at your TNT headlines. Russia has marked Victory Day with an annual military parade in Moscow. A third mass grave has been uncovered at the Al-Shifa Hospital in Gaza, taking the total number of mass burial sites uncovered following Israeli offensives to 7. And just a day after a Boeing cargo jet crash-landed at an airport in Turkey, a Boeing 737 carrying 85 people has crashed while trying to take off from an airport in Senegal.
Are you enjoying listening to TNT Radio?
Do you think we're doing a good job?
Then please let us know. Why not leave us a like or a positive review or comment on Facebook, Gab, or Getter? Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Yes, it's Friday the 10th of May. I'm very happy to be joined in a very lively debate on the homelessness and housing crisis that's currently ongoing in Cornwall in the UK at the moment by Tamara Stidwell. Tamara, again, as part of my research into this last night, I dug up a story that was published yesterday by the good old BBC about Prince William and his homelessness charity. But the headline has nothing to do with homelessness. It says he signs a child's cast for a broken arm on a beach visit. That must really fill you with optimism and hope that he's going to turn the tables on your situation if he's signing casts for kids on the beach. I'm sure he had an ice cream afterwards as well.
Really, little Prince William down on the beach playing volleyball, signing children's broken arms. Why aren't we just addressing the broken housing crisis first and foremost in that headline?
I take it you're not a Prince William fan by the sounds of it.
I'm just not a fan of the royal family, really. No. I mean,
good. I'm glad to hear that. You know, and here's the thing, right? Here's the thing. This guy, Prince William, give him his title, visited Thistral Beach in Newquay on Thursday after earlier seeing the site of the Duchy of Cornwall's first homelessness housing project. So he's got himself a little project down there in Newquay. He said the Prince met and played volleyball with young lifeguards before posing for selfies with members of the public. That must have been after all the hard work that he put in touring around his homelessness project. He felt he had to decompress a little bit by heading to the beach for some ice cream and some beach volleyball. Does that not show you where his priorities really lie?
Yeah, and I wonder if he was staying in his second home like most of the... A rich and famous.
He doesn't have a home. He's a duchy.
I don't know if he
doesn't have a home. He's got a duchy. He's got the duchy of Cornwall.
Yeah.
He's got the whole of Cornwall.
The whole duchy. Yeah. Quite interesting, isn't it, when you think about it, that the royal family, basically own the duchy. And it's so out of touch, really, with what's going on, the desperation and deprivation. And not reflected.
Well, He did speak with someone now, Tamara, to give him his dues. There was a token interview with one of the beneficiaries of his homelessness project here. In the morning time, the Prince visited the Nanslidan site, where he spoke to a chap called Max Hedges, who has been supported by the Cornish homelessness charity St. Petrox. So afterwards, Mr. Hedges said he was basically asking me, as in Prince William was asking me, about the impact that St. Petrox has had on me as a resident of supported houses. I told him that words fail me about the support I've received. I am so for these houses. It's going to give people like me an opportunity to progress as I have, and it gives me somewhere to live as well. I think there's only about 25 houses on there in this particular project, which is better than none. Okay, let's give it its dues. It's better than none. But again, why do they have someone on that's a sycophant who's fawning over what Prince William has done? Why not get someone like you? Why were you not invited on, for example, to the show to talk about what Willie's doing down there and bemoaning the fact that Cornwall's gone to the dogs when it comes to housing, and his little Mickey Mouse gesture with his little homelessness pet project, the Virtue Signal, isn't worth the paper that it's written on in the grand scheme of things?
The thing, and also, why don't they have a speaker there, you know, and draw more attention to St. Petrox, which is a fantastic charity. Uh-huh. I mean, they do so much for homeless people in Cornwall. And the thing is, you know, we used to have this kind of idea of homelessness that you would fall into homelessness through, you know, drink or drug related issues or whatnot. Uh-huh. And it's simply not the case. Homelessness is a thing that people from all walks of life are now facing in Cornwall. And, you know, why are we not seeing an end to Section 21? Which means that you can basically be kicked out of where you live through this so-called no-fault agreement. So, you know, more and more people are being kicked out. It's actually been a 49% increase in the issuing of Section 21 agreement, which means that basically landlords can say, I don't want you to live here anymore. It's no fault of your own. And they can take back on the premises. And they are putting the 49% increase down to the fact that you can make more money out of it being an Airbnb or a holiday rental. So why is he not talking about these issues? Yes, we can say it's fantastic that these houses are being built, but what about these houses that are that people were living in and have become homeless because they've been kicked out of these, you know, former places where they would have been involved in a community? You know, it's all very well building new homes, but a home isn't a home until you know your neighbours, until you feel connected to the land that you're living on. Mm-hmm. It's all token gestures, really.
It is. It's virtue signaling. And that's why I'm saying, you know, the caveat that I'm putting in here is he's proposed to build 24 homes on Duchy of Cornwall land by 2025. Fair enough. That's 25 homes that maybe wouldn't have been built otherwise. But give me a break. When you have the Duchy of Cornwall, when daddy is the king sitting on a pile worth billions, you know, he sits with a crown on his head, you know, worth a few hundred million with diamonds that have been stolen from African land. Why not just auction, stick his crown on eBay, raise a couple of hundred million and build a couple of hundred or a couple of thousand homes on Duchy of Cornwall? At least make a dent in this when you have the means to do it. I think it is a token gesture. And I'm like you, I'm not a big fan of him or his family, if you want to call them that, a dysfunctional char. But, you know, it's a PR exercise.
I think it's unconscionable as well that they've brought back in the criminalization of homelessness. So actually these people who are being evicted through no fault of their own by these landlords, you know, or people who can't face the costs of the rising living costs and these unscrupulous landlords that are just putting the rent up because they know they can. And then when that tenant can't afford to pay it, they eventually have to move out. And so when these people end up on the streets, they are now seen as criminal. And this is just... You know, how bad is it going to get? Is it just going to be easier for us to end up in prisons? Because then at least...
If we do end up in a prison, they're going to spend 60 grand a year to stick you in at His Majesty's pleasure, which is probably more expensive than building you one of those ticky-tack houses that your dad would refer to them, prefab houses or wood-frame timber houses on the Cornish coast. Hell's bells tomorrow. What a mess. I wasn't expecting this expose of exactly what's going on in Cornwall, but maybe this is exactly what needed to be said here this morning. And listen, we're out of time in this one. I think we're getting warmed up here. And no doubt this issue isn't going away anywhere. So maybe we can get a review from this from you in the not too distant future to see how you're faring and how Cornwall's faring as a whole. So Tamara Stidwell, massive thanks to you this morning for your input and taking the time out to come on here. Hopefully it wasn't too traumatic. I said I was going to wipe the smile off your face. I haven't succeeded in doing that. So next time, for sure, it's going to be gone. So big thanks to you and have a brilliant weekend, whatever you decide to do. I'll be back after this short break with Aisling O'Loughlin from Ireland. Don't go away. We'll be right back here on TNT, today's news talk.
Military families often sacrifice precious time away from loved ones while serving our country. And for those with children, the separation can be especially difficult.
We were worried that with him leaving, that she would lose those connections with her dad.
Some of life's best moments happen between parents, children, and the pages of a good book. United Through Reading provides that connection.
You can watch your mom or dad read a book to you, and it almost feels like they're really there.
We ensure they remain a consistent, meaningful part of their children's lives, no matter the distance.
Just seeing Jacob recognize Daddy again after a long time just melted my heart.
And now, as we're facing greater isolation from our loved ones, United Through Reading is also available to veterans. Learn more about United Through Reading and download our free secure app at unitedthroughreading.org.
In a secret lab, somewhere in the Western Hemisphere, the perfect human specimen has been born. He has the strength of 10 men and the wisdom of 20.
Rick Munn.
Now you listen here. He's a very naughty boy.
TNT Radio.
Now go away.
Yes, TNT, today's news talk. We are locked. We are loaded. We're coming at you live from our undisclosed bunker in the Gold Coast or on the Gold Coast of Australia. But whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, hope it's nice. Enjoy the last part of the show. I'm happy to be joined by the one and only Aisling O'Loughlin from good old Emerald Isle, Ireland itself. Aisling, how are you doing this fine Friday afternoon in May? I can't hear you, by the way. Check that microphone of yours is switched on, because my lip reading ain't so good.
Yes, there we go. How's that going?
Way. Praise the Lord. Yes, I can hear you now. I'm asking how you're doing this fine Friday afternoon.
Well, you know, I'm scrolling. I've got my child's 8th birthday later on, and I just have to stop scrolling. I'm going to have to throw the phone away because there's so much going on. It's an incredible time to be alive. I mean, it is just jam-packed We have the local and European elections coming up in Ireland. So we've all these independents now throwing their names into the hat. It's going to be incredibly interesting. It's all coming out in the wash. I mean, we've had the AstraZeneca being pulled from the market globally. That's got people talking again, revising, looking back. Wait a second. Professor Luke O'Neill said there was no evidence of blood clotting. He said that after there was evidence of blood clotting. So we're revising. Again, it's not in the mainstream media. They're not discussing that in Ireland. Why are they not discussing it? It's up to us. We have to keep bringing these things up. We have to continually bring it up, remind people, try and get our voices out in a platform. The independents are doing it now. The latest thing that's happening in Ireland, it's just so bananas. Only this past week, and you'd really start scratching your head, is these young immigrants are trying to snatch children. And you could say it's a psyop. Initially, you'd think, is this a psyop? You know, are they trying to make us, you know, hate immigrants? Are they trying to pit us against each other? But the more I'm looking at it, the more I'm thinking, there's something to this. There was a guy arrested yesterday, Grand Canal Dock in Dublin. Yes. He was done for public disorder slash attempted child abduction. Is that what they're calling it now? Public disorder. There was a child down in Mahon in County Cork. He was pushed into the toilet. Now, I'm not sure if he was raped. They're saying sexually assaulted or raped, but you can never tell sometimes, you know. Does that mean rape? Anyway, now it's turning really nasty because locals are taking justice into their own hands. Because they've seen what happened up in Newtown and Kennedy, locals were pepper sprayed in the eyes when they tried to protest against all these men being brought into their communities. Now locals across Ireland are bringing matters into their own hands. And we are seeing these guys being jumped on and the shite being bet out of them in public, on video, on camera. Where's it all going? But are they really trying to abduct children in broad daylight? And if you look at these lads, they're in their 20s. They seem to be out of their minds. What are they doing trying to get children in broad daylight? They don't seem to be even trying to do it under the cloak of darkness. They don't seem to mind that they're caught. Are they mentally deranged? Are they trying to abduct children for what? But again, it's put the Irish people in this very unsettled situation. We realise, for many, that it's quite late in the day, but they're realising this is a rogue government. We've got rogue media. They're not being straight with us. They're not covering these stories. Things are askew. Things are really, really off kilter. But very, very interesting times, because at least now we're beginning to talk. And all these new people with the independent platforms, they now are going door to door. And this is, I find, so awful when you get out and start talking to people. They're so relieved to be able to talk about it, because it's like they've been holding it all up. They haven't been allowed to discuss these things. Finally, the dam has burst and we're talking about it.
I think without it, I mean, like, listening to you talking there, you started off talking about the upcoming European elections, you pivoted on the immigration, you talked about potential child abductions, you talked about vigilante-style justice on the streets of Ireland, the uprising that's going on, the dam bursting. It sounds like about 2 years' worth of a summary of Ireland, but it's not. It's only been in the last 7 days.
Yeah, there's so much going on. Now, you wouldn't know that if you're watching RTE News or if you're listening to the radio. If you listen to the radio, it's all jokey. Everybody's having the crack. You know, let's dare not mention the seriousness of the situation. You know, that's too negative, because we've been really trained to think like that. But thankfully, you know, if we didn't have X, if we didn't have Telegram for all the naughty boys and girls, and whatever we say about Elon Musk, that conversation is happening there. And every time we're winning the conversations, we're winning the debates, because it's common sense. You can't leave the door wide open. You can't bring a whole load of men from countries that aren't compatible with Ireland in a non-stop stream. We saw what happened there on Mount Street. So they had this tent city. I mean, just bananas, all the same tents. So the government's inviting all these men in. And then it gives them money, gives them the tents. Then they pitch up their tents on Mount Street. Then it's saying, oh, no, you can't go there. So then they're clearing the tents. Then they pitched up along the canal. Then they're trying to pay them more money. to leave the canal area and bring them out to Crooksling, which is just outside of Dublin, or Newtown Mount Kennedy, which is in County Wicklow, and all these other little places, to push them out of view. Doesn't make any sense. A video emerged the other day of all these lads, military age men. I mean, what are they doing here? What, like, are they an army? Why have they been invited over here? It's so weird. And they're trying to get on the bus to get back into town again. Bus driver's saying, I'm not taking you on, lads. I've got school children to collect. I can't just bring in all these military age men onto the bus. And they're standing at the bus stop saying, we want to go back into town. And I'm what do you want back in town? Like, why do you want to pitch up your tents? Obviously, money being exchanged, promises have been offered, official promises by our crazy government. And you'd really wonder, where is it all going?
You see, on the tent thing, I mean, even the description that you made, moving from Mount Street, they then came back again, went along the canal. I think yesterday there was an operation, or the morning before, 6:30 in the morning, six departments in the Gardaí got together to move them again to where? Into the mountains. The Dublin Mountains are an old mental institution, apparently were two destinations. But then they came back again to Ringshead Toll Road outside Dublin. And then that camp at the canal is back up again this morning. They erected fencing along the canal. So they just moved to the edge of the fencing and then just pitched more tents there. So this is just mental. And this rigmarole, Aisling, this rigmarole of the tents has been the sole thing that's been on and off and on and off all week. But then you also mentioned these abductions, or these alleged child abductions that are going on as well. And I've seen the footage as well. And I'll be honest with you, I haven't got evidence of any. I'm just seeing videos posted on social media platforms with this guy or this girl tried to steal a kid. The locals have beat the tripe out of them. And there's a picture of someone lying spread-eagled on the ground or getting their head kicked in. He's a child abductor or whatnot. And listen, I have no time for child abductors, and if they get any just desserts, I wouldn't be against that. Of course, I'm not advocating vigilante justice, but I'm just saying, if a child abuser happened to get a good kicking, I wouldn't be shedding any tears from them. But are they? Is it a psyop? Is there evidence of this? Is this footage that's now being circulated wildly or widely legitimate? And if it is, you know, if I give someone a kicking on camera, I wouldn't be videoing it and sticking it up on a social media platform and say, look what I've done. You know, do it if you must, but don't incriminate yourself in the process as well. And then, of course, that can be used by the establishment to say, look at these savages are doing, these Irish people, look at the way they're treating these people, the judge, jury and executioner. It's a head melt at the minute. There's no two ways about it.
If we look at it in context, people can't trust the cops anymore. So they know that if they go to the cops, say that guy in Mahon in County Cork, who shoved the child back into the toilet with him and pulled his pants down and did whatever the hell he did to him, do you blame anybody for boxing the head off him?
Nope.
Or putting him on camera? You know, it's rough justice. And unfortunately, this is where we're at. That man was arrested, was brought into Garda custody, and guess what? 6 hours later, he's released. Back walking the streets. So when somebody videoed, I think it was a woman who jumped at him and gave him a box across the head. You could say, did they get the wrong guy? I mean, this is always the case. You know, we wonder, is it the right guy? Have they got the right person? This is why we have to wait for the cops to do all of that. And for justice to slow and to go through the court's process, just in case it's a case of mistaken identity. All of those things always cross my mind, obviously. But we're in exceptional circumstances now. If it wasn't for Derek Bligh, I know he's been on your show before. He's also running in the, I think it's the European elections. He's put his name in the hat. If it wasn't for Derek Bligh going to interview the family, if it wasn't for Gavin Pepper, he's also, I think he's running in the, it's the European, the local, I can't keep on top, there's so many. Gavin Pepper interviewed the lady on Sheriff Street, a single mom trying to get into her house. She just parked up the buggy. She'd opened the door, turned around. There's a guy trying to take the baby out of the pram. And she's on Sheriff Street. I mean, you don't mess with the crew on Sheriff Street. And she's calling for help, and actually didn't come very quickly for her. It ended up she had to defend herself and her baby. Because, of course, people are afraid. People don't want to get involved anymore. But that's changing now. That's changing because there's this sense of, wait a second, we're under attack. Our government's brought on all these men. They're unvetted. We don't know. They could be. We know a lot of them. We know there's a fraction. and they are running from their past lives, from a criminal record, because they don't have to, they don't have to show any documentation coming into Ireland. So why wouldn't they? Isn't that a fantastic invite for somebody who's got a criminal record? So we don't know who's in the country. You know, it's bananas.
And even when we do know who's in the country, there was a story that was posted up this morning about some Iraqi Kurdish guy that was on the sex offenders register, has been in Ireland since 2021, never even officially registered or logged onto the Irish sex offenders register. So Helen McEntee, the scourge, her department has said she's looking into it. Now I joked with you, you know, when I invited you to come onto the show last week, I said, you know, I don't think McEntee is going to be around next Friday, which is today. She's still in situ. Here's a question I have for you, Aisling. What the hell does Helen McEntee have to do before she's removed from office? Is she going to have to actually commit a knifing herself? Is she going to have to attack someone physically herself and be arrested? What's it going to take to get rid of that? How much incompetence does she have to exhibit before she's removed from her post? I mean, I can't get my head around that at all.
Yeah, you see, you're still going by the old rules, you know. The old rules would have had her out ages ago, but the new rules are there are no rules. They are the new rules are you pepper spray locals, you call them far right, you bring in all these men and you say, well, there's no cap on it. You know, you don't report the excess deaths. So I'm afraid we are now in very exceptional times where our Minister for Justice is far from a minister for justice, minister for injustice. And I just had that feeling that she was going to brazen it out. I won that bet, by the way. I knew she was going to brazen it out because she has that face. You know, she'll go on camera. Something's wrong. I don't know what's wrong with her. I don't know what made her that way. You know, it's kind of tragic and sad as well that there's this lack of empathy for the people of Ireland. And then, you know, it becomes so aggressive. You know, it becomes impossible. Now her situation, her position is untenable. Drew Harris's position is untenable. They have to go, but they won't.
They have outrageous. To go. It's untenable, but they're still there. That's the big rub with all this, I think. And again, that's part of the agitation process. When someone who is so obviously and evidently incompetent and running Ireland into the ground and oppressing and going against, turning against the people of Ireland, but they're still there, does that not get your blood boiling? Does that not rub you the wrong way in every way, shape or form possible? The injustices that we're seeing on the streets, the lack of guardian intervention against people that are attacking the Irish rather than beating them away, peaceful protesters, pepper spraying people, pepper spraying the media. Is this not all to agitate and aggravate? Because I tried to chill out before the show here today, but the more I think about this, I'm going off into the weekend. I'll be logging off today going like that. It shouldn't really be the way, should it?
Sometimes it's funny. It's so stupid. It's like Bambi Thug, you know, getting into the Eurovision and, you know, I'm a witch. And it's so stupid. I have, you know, thought, I think so outrageous now to usher us into this a neo-conservative age where we're all going to be, well, look at me, I'm already starting with my prissiness, you know, because we're all so disgusted. It's like, everything's so vile and it's gone way too left. It's just, you know, it's totally out of control. You know, we all might be dressing up for our Sunday. Well, you probably do go to church on a Sunday, but I mean, I haven't been for years. But I might go back now and just start, you know, is this the beginning of a new age that they've done on purpose? I was talking to a friend about this the other day. He's like, it's all a show, it's all theatre. And I think, well, I think that's quite dangerous too. If we start thinking like that, that everything is, you know, a psyop and nothing's real and it's all a show, that's when you can really get yourself into major, major problems. But we do have to be careful now. We have to be careful that in our desperation, we are desperate, we're desperate with these guys, that we don't make major mistakes. We still have to use our heads and use our common sense. And the people coming forward, we still have to grill them. We still have to put them through, you know, the proper assessments and continue to have standards. We need to even heighten our standards. The reason we're in this mess is because standards got dropped. Everything was let slide. But we bring back standards now, but we have to be careful. I would hate to be in a situation with a load of religious hypocrites. I love God, I love Jesus, but not religious hypocrites. So we just have to be careful, you know?
Agree with that. And you know what? On a positive way, just because we've got to wrap this up, you mentioned about the upcoming European elections. There are some really good candidates putting themselves forward. You mentioned Derek Bly. I think Michael Dwyer as well is going for the legendary Waters 1-2. The man, the machine, John Waters are both going forward as independent European election candidates as well. And if not this time, for sure, they've got their foot in the door and they have something to say positively for the people of Ireland. And no doubt, if somebody's going to represent the people of Ireland, who could you think of better to do it than the like of John Waters or someone of his ilk? I think he's an absolute gem. Just to direct people your way, in case we get cut off here by the end of the show, check out Aisling's Substack. She has a Substack page, Aisling O'Loughlin. And I'm not even going to spell it because I don't even have time to spell your name. It's so bloody long. Aisling O'Loughlin.substack.com. And also check her out on Twitter at Aisling O'Loughlin. Just an L, and then when N should be on there, she's decided to stick a number one just to be extra awkward. But anyway, go and check out her content. She's an absolute legend, and it's always a pleasure talking to you. Time is our enemy. Could talk a lot longer, but we can't.
Thanks for having me on, Rick.
It's been a pleasure, and whatever you're going to do, Aisling, have an absolutely epic weekend. I'm logging off now to go and take some deep breaths and sip some cold water. I will be back hopefully on Monday morning with more of the same here on TNT. Today's News Talk. Have a great weekend.